It appears that the new landfill contract and the new tonnage rates will be coming into play. We have a high degree of expectation that they're coming. We have built in sort of conservative models throughout the budget that you'll see. Some of the sort of early dollars we've built in more critical areas, you know, base operations. Other pieces we've moved into capital and other funds where we can wait and make sure the revenue shows up so that we don't have expenditures going out the door. So it's really built, you know, we have a good sense that we could have $500,000 or $600,000. More than expected in the current year from that. But it wouldn't be prudent, Paul and I believe, to sort of throw that all into operations right up front and say, hey, look, we don't have to do any, you know, any new taxes because we can just put that all there. Well, let's make sure it's happening. You know, we have to see how the owner of the landfill is managing it, how things work for them. The revenue stream should show up. That applying about this much also gives us the ability, if they do go up into that $500,000 range, next year we can try and bring some of this in again to help us do it. Doesn't help us on the capital side, but it sort of lets us stretch that medicine over two years instead of one. So what we did here, we took $175,000 of tax levy from the equipment replacement fund, moved it in the general fund, and gave them some of the new landfill siding. So that's one way we can make sure the general fund isn't at risk because it's got the levy. And if something happens and that revenue source from the landfill doesn't show up, it's in the equipment replacement fund where we have time we can react to it. It's not affecting immediate dollars. Investment earnings and planning fees, both of those are just reflective of good things happening in the economy, so interest earnings are up and more planning activities happening. Court fees, that's actually a conversation I had with the judge. He recognizes Paul instigated this, so I'll give him some credit for this, to go see if those fees need to be changed. And he agreed they haven't been adjusted for a while, and he would be interested in this last quarter this year, sitting down and working with us to look at what would be appropriate ways to change that. And try and get an ordinance in place for new fees 1-1. It takes a while for new fees to sort of cycle through. So this gets us about a 10% increase in fees considering a lag in implementation. Self-insurance fund. This is in the insurance stuff that you just approved. Part of that component was for people who make the jump to the high deductible health plan and participation HSA, there is an employer contribution to help them sort of get initiated into that fund. Our 2017 stop loss rebate, which was the first time, it was a new program our broker got us into with this particular stop loss vendor. So we got a check of about almost $130,000 or a little over that went back into the self-insurance fund, which is where it would go. We plan on using some of that then to help initiate with the employer contributions that was in the document that you just approved. So that's coming back to the general fund since it's a one-time thing from the self-insurance fund. We can list it here. Ambulance fees, the fire chief, I understand, was looking at increasing rates, and that was the net amount that anticipated could be generated from that increase. And then if you take all the other revenue line items, this is just sort of a catch-all of a number of things. That $945 in added resources to the general fund is right there with the $954 in expenditures. So that's basically how we were able to do it. One of the aspects of budgeting is trying to, you know, take advantage of the opportunities that come along. And we do that in this case particularly with landfill siding fees and the work and some of the revenues that departments are going to pull together. That end result that was on the prior screen, then you have your total municipal property tax levies, going up 361,000, which is about 1.72%.
Mark, you're saying these are all increases. These aren't the totals. This is an increase in the new property.
These are the increases.
Increase in the ambulance, 173,000, not total ambulance fees.
Yeah, the total ambulance fees are over $1 million, I believe, now. These are just the increases. Landfill siting fees are the same way. Landfill siting fees are over $1 million. This, in the general fund, this is just the amount of additional landfill siting fees that are being used. Again, we wanted to be appropriately conservative and not just pile landfill siting fees into fund base operations.
So the new property tax, is that from new developments?
Well, our property tax levy, our net new growth is 0.89%. So this exceeds that. Out of that 0.89%, the state backs out this amount because they're paying you that property tax aid. So that goes beyond what's allowed. And then depending upon how we end up anticipating our borrowing going, if it doesn't look like we would borrow at all next year, which doesn't appear to be the case, then we would be able to use the portion of the levy limit that allows you to call back to years that you didn't use the full levy. Absent being able to do that, which is probably our circumstance because we do anticipate debt borrowings next year, a couple of them, then we would end up using some of the available debt in the debt service levy that the city of Franklin hasn't traditionally applied and used under the sort of levy limit worksheet. And so we can exceed that limit because we have some additional authority that we can tap on there. So that's how we get up to being able to go up to 361. Paul, off the top of my head, I don't recall. What's the 8.9 less the 8.9% less than 95? Do you remember?
It's going to be in the $120,000.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Does that answer your question? So with that expenditures that I talked about, that I just showed you sort of how it was funded, what are sort of the primary impacts that are on the operations? It did anticipate what the chief had submitted relative to the recruit patrol officer direction that you recently approved. There is some funding for a part-time assistant fire inspector because there are some state revenues that help support that, and he wants to make sure he's meeting the statutory requirements there. There is a permit technician for building inspection, working toward basically a plan anticipating some vacancies coming there, and with the amount of building that we have going and what we have going in the TIFs, that department can't afford a period of vacancy. So this is sort of some succession planning around one known retirement and one potential retirement, and it does so in a cost-efficient way that Scott has designed, Scott Satula, our building inspector, to help process things more quickly through the internal part of the department. It's very creative, and we can talk about it in more detail when we get to the budget hearings. There's also an administrative assistant in the utility side to help the two utility funds, and it's supported through the utilities and not through any general fund. Personnel services costs built in, both police and fire departments, overtime budgets were increased $25,000 each. We haven't been able to do that for a number of years, so we tried to get closer to that. On top of that is the 17.5% benefit roll-ups, you know, FICA and those kinds of things. Wisconsin Retirement System, this budget does provide the funding necessary to allow the city to move its general employees into the Wisconsin retirement system, taking advantage of the new statutory provisions that lets it be optional. You will probably have from me at that first council meeting in October, a request for guidance from you whether or not to make that move. We have to have a resolution approved by the middle of November. There's a lot of sort of design work and explanations I have to do to employees and work with the current pension stuff, so there's a lot of details to work out. And so you'll probably see me come to you with that request to move forward. But the funding for that extra, the city currently pays 5% as a matching contribution to employees in our defined contribution plan. For next year, the WRS is a 6.55. So we have to make up that 1.55%. Similarly, there is wages also at a 1.55%, but only mid-year. Employees, when they move into the WRS, they will have an employee contribution of 6.55% compared to their 5. So each of the employees who do that will see their take-home pay actually go down when they join. Now, granted, they're getting it just in a future pension, but so we did try to make that as hold harmless as we could get in the budget, but we could only sort of manage to do it with our mid-year adjustments, which we've been doing for the last couple of years. So there would be a period where they would be at a reduction in their take-home. Health insurance, we've already talked about. Restricted contingency got a little more involved and innovative this year. That's our emergency expenditure authority that we build in the budget. It also happens to serve the purpose of preserving expenditures under the expenditure restraint program. We took some steps that helps us increase that number to about $1.9 million in the general fund. One reason that's a good thing to do is if we ultimately do have successful referendums, we would like to be able to afford to pay those costs without losing our expenditure restraint money. And so this is one way of positioning ourselves to not do, for example, what I think South Milwaukee had to do, which is lose their money for 1 year before they could get it back again. So we're trying to plan ahead in that regard just in case it does happen. Additionally, we set up a separate one in the capital outlay fund. Every so often we have general fund contingency, and all of a sudden there's something we need capital, and we're having to wait to publish a budget ordinance, and we're paying for the publishing. So we set some of it directly up in the capital outlay fund to let us react a little more quickly and not have to necessarily do a budget modification for those cases. Referendum, there's really nothing built into this budget to address the referendum. The council recently, as you know, approved submitting the question. But since the election is in advance of the final budget hearing, we just did the budget based upon sort of current authorization. And if it's approved, we'll work up all those numbers and bring them in. It'll be part of the budget ordinance that you would address at the budget hearing. So it would not be part of the budget publication notice, and it is not addressed in the document that you will soon get. This is a table that we put in the letter I write at the front of each budget that sort of shows how tax rates end up being calculated. These are all estimates because we don't have final values yet. All of these things do change, I've highlighted with the arrows the two numbers of most interest, which is that 1.72% increase in the levy does take you down to with how the actual TID valuations and equalized valuations change, where you actually have a reduction in the rate of 3.22%, down from about $5.61 per thousand to $5.43.
So the net on all of this is if your property tax, your property assessment, if it went up 5% or less, you will see a decrease in your taxes because you're reducing the rate.
Yes.
Everybody get that? You all understand that?
Not likely.
What?
Quickly, I'll do a summary discussion by fund. I've shortened this section a lot this year for your entertainment pleasure. The general fund's largely what we've talked about. You'll notice the expense goes up to over $28 million. Again, that's that large restricted contingency that we've incorporated and inflates that bottom line, but that's still something to our end. The library fund, to their credit, they paid attention to what the council and the mayor asked them last year, which was to eliminate your structural deficit. And they're looking at a small fund balance improvement this year, and they've submitted a budget with one as well next year. We did add some additional levy in there since that is one of the funds with employee costs outside the general fund where the WRS factor could come into play. So we wanted to make sure that we funded that for the library to the same extent that we did for the general fund. Solid Waste Collection Fund, their user fee remains the same as it has for, I believe, the last couple of years. Street Improvement Fund, that was one of the steps we took where we swapped $700,000 in levy that was in the Street Improvement Fund, moved it to the general fund, and budgeted transportation aids directly in that fund. It's sort of an accounting issue that works well with the state rules. Sufficient funding is included in there to cover the first 13 of the 17 projects listed in the page in the document that you'll get in the book. The development fund, we continue to have pressure regarding the need to expend park impact fees. With the work that we've done this year, the projects there, you basically get through next year, but early after the turn of the year. If you don't spend some money next year in parks or more than what's already happening, you will be sending checks back to people who owned something 13 years ago.
Is that checks back plus interest?
I believe so.
And then the question is who? Does it go to the current landowner,
right,
or the previous?
Current landowner, no question. Statute tell you. Oh. You know right where to send
they
the
just
check.
They change that.
Oh. I'm pretty sure it's not
we don't want
who paid.
That,
it's the right house it was paid for. I'm pretty sure about that. We'll double check before we send the checks out, though.
I'll go to 2812 was Hilltop Lane. And,
The debt service fund, the property tax levy supporting the fund remains at the $1.3 million, but I believe in 2018 we used about $550,000 of that, I want to say, is where we were. So this budget will use another portion of that. That difference between the 361 that was listed earlier and the 120 that Paul said fits under the, our net levy. So, okay. So that means we'll have used about 40% of sort of that opportunity, that trick. Once it's used up, can't use it anymore. And in 2 years, we've used up 40% of that ability. Equipment replacement fund, again, we did, as I mentioned earlier, we took some general fund or some levy out of there, moved it to the general fund, and put landfill siting fee directly into there. They still have revenues of about $610,000 in total, which is about 51% of the resource required to be fully funded, which is a drop from last year. There's three items listed in there for purchasing this year. The schedule actually had more things, but some departments pushed some things back. So the actual expenditures were going to be less than the equipment replacement fund anticipated for this year. Capital outlay fund, there's almost $678,000 of approved items. Again, we've got a little more creative with the contingency appropriation for a couple of reasons. The regular sort of annual $50,000 of unscheduled, unrestricted contingency is still in there. But there were a number of items that departments had that were valid, important requests, more than we could fund. But a number of them are, we don't know which one's going to fail first or have a problem first. And we're not 100% sure. We have high confidence, but we're not 100% sure all that landfill revenue is coming in. So we took $100,000 of landfill siting and budgeted, planned to be spent, So it's not contingency in that regard. We're planning it. But we're going to wait until we get into the middle of next year to review the status of those requests and the status of the funding before we come back and say, okay, we think this is where that $100,000 in the fund should be used. That lets it be a little more a targeted strike on the needs and not guessing right now what each of those needs are. We've also, a couple projects in there, in particular the City Hall Security and the PD phone system. We've done the same thing, listed it projects pending approval like we do in the Capital Improvement Fund. They're both bigger projects, about $75,000 each, where we're using landfill siting revenue for them. We want to make sure the money's there. So the budget notes that although it's there, there's an appropriation, departments don't have the authority to use it until they come back to the Common Council for authorization. And then I referenced earlier that there was a general restricted contingency. That's the kind we use that takes four votes. It's coming from fund balance. But we put some in this fund as well, so it's not just the general fund, to avoid, to speed up our ability to use it so you don't have to do a publication of a notice of a budget modification, and to avoid the cost of that publication. Capital Improvements Fund, there's about $5 million in expenditures, $2.1 in borrowing. The approved projects are the Pleasant View Park Pavilion. We've put $500,000 in appropriations based upon conversations with the Pewaukee that built something similar in the architect and anticipating where we think the Common Council might want to go. But that was the good starting position. There was some Pleasant View Park equipment. Anticipating that when we get the donated historical barn, there might still be some pieces and some site work and some costs that we have to do. And this was that $40,000 the Common Council had previously indicated they wanted to be willing to put toward it. Some road projects listed there. Appropriated projects pending approval. So they're in the budget, the appropriations are there, but authorization to proceed with them is not yet granted. That's the indoor shooting range, the station-specific alerting system, the parkland acquisition, the 500 each for sewer and water projects, and the Ken Wendell Pavilion repairs. So this is your budget process. We have the relatively sort of the same calendar every year. The Committee of the Whole that will have this as an agenda item on October 1st. Between now and then, it's scheduled where this is a period aldermen can go through the budget books on their own, contact department head directly if they have any question. Today, you can identify any specific topics you know you're going to want there, department heads you know you're going to want there, but that is also something you can send me at any point between now and that Committee of the Whole meeting. And then we, this lists some other meetings that you can have where you're able to do it. The last regular workday for budget changes that you as a council want included, or at that point I should say you as the Committee of the Whole, would want included in the public hearing notice. Then we submit the public hearing notice with ultimately special Common Council meeting planned for November 13th for the public hearing on the budget. So the mayor's recommended budget sort of in conclusion had to address that initial budget projection with the large deficit like we've done the last couple years. Because of this, that large deficit and everyone feeling like, why is it always a tough budget? We tried to establish an initial approach to examining and treating the annual sort of budget dilemma, as I'll call it. The mayor's recommended budget considered three models, and it then tried to use a starting point as that minimum model to have the levy do that and try and use cost savings and revenue enhancements to get us up to that ongoing level of support, which I believe we have achieved with this budget. There aren't layoffs, there aren't positions gone, there aren't services cut. It is a sort of a maintenance of service budget with some limited growth areas. And building on with that, sort of to what Dan had talked about at the last meeting, I would sort of encourage the Common Council to, through this budget process, evaluate that strategy and think about it. And, you know, over the course of the next, you know, 6 months, think about whether the Finance Committee and the Common Council wants to continue that discussion and build on that model so that when we get to next year, we're not saying, oh, it's another tough budget, it's another million. But we've talked about sort of those parameters and thought about how you might want to address them. You know, we can continue to do it as, you know, reactionary, I don't want to say panic mode budget, but sort of a reactionary figure out how to do it budget. But if you want to build on this, it is something where you could take some steps and try and build in some anticipation and take that panic and frustration out of at least part of the budget process. And in doing that, you could establish a baseline approach as to how to address the annual fiscal dilemma generated by those sort of normal market demands that I talked about at the beginning. That's it.
The good thing about this budget is that it takes some revenue uncertainty that was in the tax levy and moves it out to the capital outlay and funds where if we don't get the revenue, it doesn't impact the levy for next year, and we can stop the spending before it hurts. So it's a more solid budget this year. So I don't think you have any questions, but any questions for Mark? All right, let's move on to let's do the stuff before we get to the closed session. Item I-1 licenses.
Thank you, Your Honor. We got Calmerton.
Excuse me. Is there a motion to refer the budget to the committee to the whole?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, Alderman Taylor.
Thank you. Calmerton, approved pending proof of current schooling. His schooling has expired, and it's from in our municipality. The next four are approved. When you get to Heather Sternello, that's hold for appearance. Final two, approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to I-1, vouchers and payroll. Is there a motion approving city vouchers with an ending date of September 13, 2018 in the amount of $920,218.55 and payroll dated September 14, 2018 in the amount of $387,480.64 and payments to various payroll deductions in the amount of $207,172.63 plus city matching payments and estimated payroll dated September 28th estimated at $404,000 plus and payments of the various payroll deductions estimated at $455,000 plus city matching payments and property tax payments and settlements with an ending date of September 13th in the amount of $12,943.07.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dander.
Aye.
Motion carries, 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Move on to G13, potential acquisition of public parklands. Is there a motion to enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Stats 19.85 sub 1 sub E for market competition and bargaining reasons to consider the potential acquisition of properties to be used for public park purposes in the city of Franklin pursuant to the May 1st, 2018 Common Council actions upon Park Commission recommendation to move forward with the parkland acquisition necessary steps and which Common Council action also changed the status of the neighborhood parkland acquisition project in the 2018 Capital Improvement Fund to an approved project and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act as such matters as discussed therein as it deems appropriate.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
I abstain. I'm going to go into closed session, make a comment, and leave.
I'm sorry.
I'm abstaining from it.
Okay. Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries. We are in closed session. Mr. City Attorney.
Potential motion is a motion to direct the city attorney to proceed as discussed in closed session.
By the way, we're back in open at 10 minutes to 10. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion on motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
No.
5 ayes, no noes, 1 absent, no abstentions. Alderman Taylor.
Oh, I said no.
Sorry. 4 ayes, 1 no, 1 absent, no abstentions. Alderman Taylor had left the room at
9. When we went into closer.
At 9:20.
No.
It was 9:27.
9:27.
Correction, 9:27. Did we vote? Yeah, we did. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved. Motion passes.
Oh, I did. 4 ayes, 1 no.
Motion passes.
Motion passes. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Aye.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. We are adjourned.
Good night, everybody.